Once again, I'm very thankful to be with you. Praise our God together. Been a subject that's been upon my heart for a long time, and very large subject, and I will do the best that I can. I ask an interest in your prayers. And the subject is the power in prayer. And we would think that things that the very subject matter and all that would be a very simple thing. And one very common, you know, to each and every one of us about prayer. But the value, the power, the purpose, the plan, there's so much that is at the foundation of our faith, even within the way of the restoration that we were even talking about in our Sunday school this morning, that prayer has to do with, and its uniqueness in so many ways, that like I said, it's been upon my heart for some time, and it's such, once again, a large subject that it's hard to know where to start. It's hard to know where to stop. There are so many places in the scriptures. The evidence of the power in prayer. We could have a testimony service right now and stop preaching and just talk about the testimony of the prayers that have been answered and the blessings given just in this very room. And we serve a God of praises. Prayer is our spiritual threshold of communication to an all-knowing, loving Lord that wants to hear from us. And throughout the scriptures, he told us about talking to him, about the evidence of when people have talked to him. And the evidence, it is part of the evidence of your faith. And it's one thing to say that you have faith. Stepping out and talking to the Lord is part of the evidence of faith. It's what you did with your faith. You've reached out in communication to the very God of all. There are many aspects of prayer to consider. And I want to talk about a lot of areas, you know. In that so many ways that, once again, even within the restoration, how prayer it very unique there as well. Jesus not only told us we should pray, but he even gave an example. Turn with me now over to Matthew in the 6th chapter. Matthew in the 6th chapter. I'd like to read verses 5 through 15. When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. There is the thing right there, that they may be seen of men, or they want to be seen as they're praying, and maybe the eloquent oratory, if you will, of flowery words and so on. And I'm sure what Jesus is talking about, that it wasn't really from their heart, but mainly to be seen of other people. It's not that we shouldn't be praying in public, that I'm going to be talking about here in a little bit as well. But he says that they have their reward. Thou, when thou prayest, enter in thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. When you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. And we know that we hear those that they have, those will be, they'll read a prayer out of a book. And those of once again, it says, vain repetitions. Be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Now he already knows. He already knows. But he wants you to talk to him and tell him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And he says, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, remember that verse as well, right there. If you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. We're going to see where that has a value in the sincerity of your prayers. Okay? Remember that even as well. Another question I'm going to ask you. Do you have a special place of solitude? Do you have a place and even a period of time that you set aside for your devotions and you come to the Lord sincerely, as Jesus said? When you enter into your closet, when you shut thy door, pray to thy Father. Doesn't mean you have to have a special closet in your house designed for, but do you have that special place? It can be more than one, but do you even have one? And do you have a time that you set aside? It's a good question, isn't it? Do you have a time? And do you come to we're going to be talking about praying together. But do you take and talk to the Lord yourself? There are things that you may have within your heart and your mind that they should be between you and God Himself. We pray in our families. We pray probably not as often as we should, with Sue and I, just together. But there are times when you need to approach God's throne yourself, with thoughts between you and God Himself. Do you have that special place of solitude? Our brother from Brantford, Ontario, Brother Mike, he preached a wonderful sermon on the song on In the Garden. And basically, he was talking about a place of speciality for you in your garden. Jesus was in the garden, and he needed to talk to his Father and pour out his soul, basically. Talk to the Father. And he needed to go up yonder himself. The disciples were a ways off. And it was a special place. They said that he had resorted hither to pray many times. Or thither. But what about us? Do we have that special place and special garden, if you will? We're good at asking for many things, aren't we? Yet we serve a God that is to be reverenced, praised, loved, adored, and thanked. Aren't we? We're good at things. And we're going to talk about even the things that we may ask about here in just a little bit. There's some scriptures about it. We're good at asking for things. We're speaking to the one that holds the power of all the universe in his hand, and yet cares about hearing our thoughts. And how true that is. We find there in the scriptures, there were about historical events, yes, many of them. But there are many, many in here that were consecrated to prayer. Talking to God, asking God about things, God talking to them. Can God still speak? Why wouldn't He? Why would we believe that God could not speak to us? We believe in ongoing revelation and prophecy. God still speaks, and He will until the end of man. It's only limited to the faith of the children of men. But the one that holds the power of all the universe cares about hearing your thoughts. And wants to hear your thoughts. Not only did Jesus give us a sample prayer here, but it also encourages us and commands us to pray. It tells us about the important things about even forgiveness. I would like to take a turn, if you will. There's one of the things that I'm talking about here, and that is that we serve a God of praises. And the Psalms, are dedicated. They are dedicated to into praising the Lord. And let's read just a couple of things from some of them, okay? For Psalm 91, verse 1 and 2. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. My God, in Him will I trust. Is that a praise? It's a proclamation of His majesty and sovereignty upon the life and the purpose of man. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. The believers, the saints, those that believe and live by faith, He is our fortress and our refuge. Psalm 92, verse 1 through 6. Psalm 92, 1 through 6. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. As we're singing our hymns, they're just not that word on a page, but they're sermons contained in each one of those hymns dedicated to praising the Lord. Do we sing them with joy? Do we sing them with heartfelt thanks? Do we sing them unto the Lord? People, I've heard people say that may not want to sing, and for whatever reasons. And, you know, the thing is, we're not singing, you know. Well, it's nice to sound good, I'm sure, but the thing is, if the Lord, you know, and I like to sing, and I may not sound good. And if the Lord can put up with my caterwauling, He can put up with yours too. And the main thing that He looks upon your heart and how you're putting your heart into an agreement with the praises that we are singing. You know, you've heard me say that, you know, with the numberless concourses of angels, and they were in the attitude of praising and thanking in the choirs above. And if we hope to be there someday, to join and be in an attitude of singing, praising our Heavenly Father and His Son forever, we're in choir practice today. We're in choir practice today. But to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness by night, upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, with a solemn sound. For thou, Lord, hast made me glad through thy work. I will triumph from the works of thy hands. O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. The brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. And that's the thing, you know, the difference between a believer and unbeliever. There are those that understand these spiritual, powerful things. And there are those that don't, because they haven't applied their heart to faith and to understanding. In Psalm 93, verses 1 and 2, the Lord reigneth, He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith He hath girded Himself. The world also established that it cannot be moved. Thy throne is established of old, and thou art from everlasting. We pray to a God of praises. Have we praised Him for His majesty and sovereignty and goodness and strength and wisdom and all those things? Have we given Him the praise that is rightfully His in our prayers? In our prayers. Psalm 96 is wonderful. I'd like to read it. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honors and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people, Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, and the world also shall be established, that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people with righteously. Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. For he cometh to judge the earth, and he shall judge the world with righteousness, and the people with his truth. A God of praises. Do we praise him? Do we praise him for his majesty and honor him and reverencing him? We're good at asking for things, aren't we? But what about praising him for all that he is? It must be in the name of Christ, our Lord, the Savior. And you'll see why here in a moment. In the book of 3 Nephi, in the 8th chapter, in the 51st verse, and he's saying, "For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore you must always pray unto the Father," what? "In my name. And whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing you shall receive. Behold, it shall be given unto you." Even when he says right and believing, there are things we ask for. It's a good thing, you know, there are things that we may pray about and ask about and they want or think that should transpire in the way that we think they should. It's a good thing the Lord doesn't give us absolutely everything we ask for. Because he knows the perfect gift. And we know that there. You may have had the experience where you prayed about something, you asked for something, and it didn't come about the way that it was. You thought it should. It came about better. And if it had been taken place the way you thought, it would have got all fouled up. Have you ever had that happen? Absolutely. In 3 Nephi, 13th chapter, in the 6th verse, "Verily I say unto you," these are the words of Jesus, of course, "whatsoever things ye shall ask the Father in my name, it shall be given unto you. Therefore ask and shall receive, and knock and shall be opened unto you. For he that asketh receiveth, and unto him that knocketh it shall be opened." Once again, in faith, believing, but that is asking those things which are right. But Jesus said many times, "You have not because you don't ask. You have not because you ask not." It's telling us once again that we should be talking to the Father in the name of Christ. In 3 Nephi 12:21, "Verily I say unto you that you are built upon my gospel. Therefore you shall call whatsoever things you do in my name. Therefore if you call upon the Father for the church, if it be in my name, the Father will hear you." Jesus paid very dearly for that very avenue for you to tread, to come to the Father boldly under the throne of grace. We find that very symbolically when the veil of the temple was rent in twain upon the crucifixion of Christ, that we may boldly come unto the throne of grace ourselves and talk to him. We know we need no intercessor but Jesus Christ. The Father will hear you. His own beloved Son paid for that very avenue for us to use. In Moroni 7 and 26, "And assuredly as Christ liveth, he spake these words unto our fathers, saying, whatsoever thing ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is good, in faith believing, that ye shall receive. Behold, it shall be done unto you." Once again, pronouncing that it must be in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus very plainly told us about prayer and who we pray to. People were talking about the name for the Father, that they needed to have the name for the Father. What did Jesus call him? Father. And he told us, "As after this manner pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And in the name of Jesus. You know, it makes me cringe when there are times And I know you've heard them too, when people will use the name of Jesus in vain. People will use the bad one, for, you know, God, you know, I won't say the rest of it. And, of course, that certainly refers to our God. When people exclaim Jesus Christ, a very derogatory form of voice. That's on whom our salvation depends. That's one that paid for your price. And it should offend. It certainly offends me. It should offend you. In Philippians 2nd chapter, in the 10th verse, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And when that time shall come, every knee shall bow. And some will bow to gladness and honor. There will be those that will bow in shame. Because whatever it is we did, accomplished or didn't accomplish in this life. A heritage in prayer, you wonder. Now, heritages are started in families for many reasons. Things done, special things said, or whatever. But what about a heritage in prayer in your families? And it came to pass when Jesus had spoken these words unto his disciples, he turned again unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold, verily, verily, I say unto you, you must watch and pray always, lest ye enter into temptation. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. And I had this scriptural earlier, but this is for this reason. Believing that you shall receive, behold, it shall be given unto you. Pray in your families, unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. That's the most important place to put your children. And for our friends and so on, and for many reasons, but... And we're praying in our church family today. What a wonderful heritage and example for our children to grow up in Sunday school. And what an important thing it is for them to see their mother and their father kneel up before their Creator. What a wonderful example. And where grandma and grandpa would kneel before their Creator. What a wonderful heritage to start, isn't it? What a powerful thing in a family. And them realizing what the ultimate and true power is, that it's not among men, but it's upon their Father in heaven and his beloved Son, Jesus the Christ. For them to understand and to know. What kind of a power in a heritage to start in a generation? To change the course of the next generation, just like a mighty river. And look at, conversely, the opposite. If that were not, what if you didn't? And instilled much different things in your home, and in your children, and so on. What kind of ways would they, where would they go? What would they do? But if they're not learning the wisdom in the scriptures, in their faith, in prayer, and knowing where their true sovereignty should lie. Whose master who do they serve? Well, who does their brothers and sisters, who does their mother and father, who does their grandma and grandpa serve? That God of praises that we pray to. What kind of example is that? Do we pray with our families? Do we do that? That's a question that you need to answer for yourself. Jesus has plainly told us that we should. Do our children witness us in prayer? Do they? A question you can answer in your own home. Are we afraid to witness by prayer in public? Now, Jesus gave us a definition of those that wouldn't be heard for their prayers, those that were to be seen of men in public. But what about if we're certainly, you know, have our meal or something somewhere, and others may notice, and that is a witness. Why would we be afraid for someone to see us pray to God? Maybe it's something that might help someone else by noticing. Someone else may notice that. I've heard from you where you've prayed over your meal in public and someone come up and have said, "I noticed you prayed over your food. Thank you. Thank you for that example." And I think it's a powerful thing. It's a very powerful thing. The witness. Jesus told us if we are ashamed of him before men, you know, he'd be ashamed of us. In Romans in the 8th chapter in the 26th verse, and here is a real neat thing about the Holy Spirit. "Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." There are feelings. There is tenderness in our hearts. Things that maybe you just can't put into words, but the Spirit helps and to deliver those things to the throne of the Father in the name of Jesus, of course. But help us our infirmities, and help us with words. Not once again that it's this maybe this flowery oration, but the right thing to express the feelings, maybe the hurt, maybe the joy, maybe the indecision, maybe the right need that you have, and or the way that we should be praising him. There are things so wonderful, what we were talking about this morning in the Book of Mormon, it says that they couldn't be uttered down, the things that Jesus said. There are things too wonderful. Couldn't even be put into words. And he said that they shouldn't be written down. How about sincerely? In Moroni 7, 8, 8 and 9, 7 through 7, 7 through 9, "If a man being evil giveth a gift, he do it grudgingly. Therefore it is counted unto him the same as if he obtained the gift. Therefore it is counted evil before God. And likewise also it is counted evil unto man if he shall pray, and not with real intent of heart. Yea, and it profiteth him nothing, for God receiveth none such. Wherefore a man being evil cannot do that which is good, neither will he give a good gift. A bitter fountain cannot bring forth good water, neither can a good fountain bring forth bitter water. Wherefore, a man being a servant of the devil cannot follow Christ, and if he follow Christ, he cannot be a servant of the devil." The Lord knows, looks upon the heart. He knows if you're being sincere. He knows if you're being genuine. And he talks about if you shall pray not with real intent, it's a profit of nothing. Believing one way and doing another, or whatever, you know, in hypocrisy. And Jesus said, in faith believing. Close friends, keep in touch. Is the Lord your close friend? Is he? That's one that you need to have a very solid answer for, isn't it? Close friends keep in touch, don't they? 1 Corinthians 14 and 15. "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with understanding also, and I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also." It's a close spiritual connection. You know, God is in this room. His Spirit is in this room. He is closer than the shadow of our turning. And certainly within the sound of your voice. 1 Corinthians 4 and 2. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And if we've been consecrated to prayer, we've been told we should pray, given example that we should pray, are we a faithful steward of what's been given to us? How about salvation? Have we thanked Him for it? We praised Him for so many things. Are we maintaining that relationship with Him? He is our God. And we need to talk to Him about being His child. Are we being a faithful steward? Are we faithful in prayer and communication? Now, in the Scriptures talks so much about prayer and fasting, being consecrated unto prayer through fasting. Fasting being a sacrifice of ourselves, basically kind of an affliction of ourselves, a sacrifice and in fasting. But that's a whole other subject to itself even, but prayer and fasting. And I don't mean to bring up something derogatory, but there's a lot of modern versions of the Bibles out there they've taken out fasting along with prayer. That is true. But prayer and fasting, one with another. In Philippians, in the 4th chapter, 6 and 7 verses, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Let your requests be made known unto God. Jesus said, He already knows our thoughts. And He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. But let your requests be made known unto God. We have read through Psalms, just to scratch the surface, basically, just not hardly anything, of some of the Psalms and the praises that are in them. And what we should be about in praising and thanking Him. In James 1, 5 and 8, do we find ourselves asking for a matter to be decided spiritually? Maybe a temporal thing that you're working on. Something that you need to get done. Maybe you've hit an impasse. I do that. I'll hit an impasse. And I'm not sure which way to turn. But if any of you lack wisdom, He tells us, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. But he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven in the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. We may believe one thing, and we may be praying one way, but turn around and do something else. And there are also a log jams to our faith. James says in the 4th chapter and the 3rd verse that ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. There may be things that we would ask for that we shouldn't be. And because they could be very temporal things that, you know, we shouldn't be. And there's a whole list of them. There's a whole list of them. But that you may consume it upon your lusts, you know. Ye ask and receive not. There's an example of where people were seeking for gold and for riches and things like that in the Book of Mormon. And they were reprimanded. Jacob was reprimanding them and telling them, you've sought for gold, for riches, and so on. And when you have too much of those things, a lot of times if our heart's not in the right predisposition, if you will, can lead us on to sin, to pride, and to make an idol out of it. He says, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, is if you seek for them, you will find them. But it's to clothe the intent, clothe the naked, feed the hungry. There are people that are blessed out there in the world, I believe, with a lot of money. They believe it to be a tool being usable. Their heart is disposed to the Lord, given to the Lord. And they're good stewards of it. They know how to take care of it. They know how to give in the right ways and this and that. They're people that are blessed with it. And there are people that are blessed that they're not given a lot of money. Right, but it would be a destruction to them. But there are things that hinder our prayers too. James in the first chapter, verses 22-24. Let's see here. But be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like unto a man beholding his natural face in the glass. He beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Sometimes, you know, we hear it, we understand it, the word, and we go about and we forget that lesson. We saw how we looked in the sight of the Lord in the way of his words, and go about and forget it, maybe commit that sin again, which is a hindrance to our prayers. It's just like driving down a road and you find a log in the road. Are you going any further if the log's big enough? No. You know, when we were out in Montana and got off the beaten path, and there were a couple trees that had blown over, and we had to get up and move them out of the road. And I am very thankful that some of them weren't the bigger ones that I saw. They're ones you couldn't put your arms around whatsoever, and about 150 feet tall. One of them had been on the road, we would have been going back 30 miles. But I was able to move. I was thankful that they were no bigger than like this. I was able to get them off the road, and we could proceed down that road in faith. But it's just like our life. We can have things, you know, and we can forget with how the Word has acquainted us with truth, the truth in Jesus Christ. And our sins, things that we need to put away from us, and that cause that roadblock, that our prayers can be hindered. Matthew 5:2. If you bring thy gift to the altar, there rememberest that thy brother hath ought against thee, leave thy gift at the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer thy gift. What if we've got ought in our life, as he says? What if we've got some things in our life that aren't right and aren't reconciled before the Lord? And especially, he says, something with your brother. Whatever that matter was, he said, you leave it there. You leave your gift. What is your gift? Your gift of service? It could have been, maybe it was coming to the sacrament. And there was a rift in your life, and you weren't, as it talks about in 1 Corinthians, and the 11th chapter, that we take it worthily. Well, it could be our prayers. And our prayers could be hindered because of things that weren't right. The Lord wants you to handle those things. Then you can come to me with your whole heart. You know, it's like a batter that steps up to the plate and his bat is cut in half. He's not hitting that ball with all of his thrust, is he? No. In 1 John 4:20, if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? They were praying to God, but we still got ought against somebody. We are not giving them our whole thrust, are we? We're not giving them our whole... It takes, you know, to have issues in our life that are not godly, of course. We're not giving the Lord our full attention. And these other things, they take an energy. It takes an energy to hold on to something. It takes an energy to have covetousness. It takes an attention and so on to dwell on other things. It takes an energy to do it. And that energy and that love, that devotion is not being given to the Lord when there are things that aren't handled, right? That's true. In Mark 11:26, Jesus tells us, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. We don't have the right to harbor unforgiveness. Yes, it's probably people that have offended us, but you know something? That there's no stronger prison out there than one that we built for ourselves. There's no stronger prison than one that we have fashioned and constructed for ourselves. We're allowed ourselves to be retained in, I guess would be the better way to put it. 1 John 4:18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. In Philippians, it said, make out your soul's salvation with fear and trembling. Now that is a time of heartfelt proclamation of God's sovereignty, or Him planting His flag in our heart, if you will. But it is a heartfelt thing. Now, but when we have made out our soul's salvation, what is the evidence of that? It's peace. Now, we should fear the Lord, and that is an awe-inspiring respect for Him, is the fear of the Lord. There's a difference between man's fear and the fear of the Lord, because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But if we have perfect love, and that is in Jesus Christ, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. Fear has torment. And that fear, something can become from sin, even if we've made our soul salvation, but slipped away into some things. Sin, transgression. And that can bring torment. It can bring remorse. And how does that hinder prayer? Sure. Yeah. Hinders prayers. You've planted the log in the road. In James 3:10. What about the words that we may use? Once again, you're praying, you know, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not so to be. People using words that they shouldn't. They say corrupt communications, corrupt good manners. And that's the truth. And once again, how can we be, and our prayers should be full of praise and thanksgiving? Isn't that what the Psalms are telling us? And our requests, our thankfulness, our joy, and so on. And how could we be doing that, and yet out of that same mouth be blessing and cursing? It's a log in the road. It's a hindrance to our prayers. I used to work in a trade for 34 years. You know, with a bunch of other mechanical fellas, and I've heard all sorts of talk. I know all those words. I'm telling you, I've heard them. But I trained myself not to say them. Everybody, and you know something, and through the years, people counted on me not to say them. Then we could receive blessing, you know, and we were as long as blessings in a shop full of rough fellas being able to talk the gospel. And there wouldn't a day go in and out that we wouldn't be able to talk about a piece of the gospel in that shop. I can't remember a day we didn't. But it starts with the power of example. There were many reasons. There were some real problems in some of the lives, and I remember standing by a piece of machinery when you ever have a short prayer. Could do that. And I think my employer, he realized those things, and the owner, not a real faithful man. You've helped me pray for him. I've had him on the prayer list. And one of the customers came in and told him, you know, how he thought that the people were helping him in the shop, and that it was a good shop, and moral men. And he says, Adam, I didn't do that. That wasn't me. I was about ready to say, you know, it's a good time for witness right then. And then amongst his sickness, his cancer, and his heart problem, this and that, and I said, Don, there have been a lot of people praying for you. He says, yeah, I know it, or I wouldn't be still here. So there's a time, maybe there's reasons why he's still upon this earth. In 3 Nephi 5:90, behold, I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. There's many examples, you know, when there's been a few that have been having problems at work. And I've had them there too. And notice, you know, the first thing I'll say is, did you, most of them, all the people, bosses and things like that. Could you pray for them? Did you pray for them? Did you pray for that person? Did you pray for their family? Can you honestly, sincerely pray for them? You know, there's a fellow I had worked with up north that didn't day go in and out, that he didn't let you know that he was over you and he was the boss. And there was a name for it, and his name for it. They call it short man's disease. Yeah. I'm not trying to offend anyone. That's just a coined phrase. And that just means those that are power hungry for this and that. And yeah, you do it my way, whether it's wrong or not, or we're about ready to break something, doesn't matter, and I don't want you to do it this way, and this and that. Okay. And I needed to pray for him. And he continued to put you through the mill, day by day. Come to find out, he was actually trying to groom me for his position, was the idea when he left. And I did step up in that position, but I told myself and the Lord, I would never run that shop like he did. Need to be a whole lot more respect and love there. And the one fellow that I would stop on the way and pick him up from the jailhouse because he was locked up at night and pick him up and bring him into work and whatever. And he'd want to stop. He'd want to get donuts for the guys and this and that. And anyway, one thing he said is that I gave him respect. And he was very impressed by that. And I said, everyone deserves respect. He says, yeah, it's true, but you don't always get it. And so, but anyway. Are we praying for others? In James, in the 5th chapter, in the 13th to the 20th verses, if there's any among you afflicted, let him pray. Is there any merry, let him sing songs. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let him pray. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And that's something else I want to talk to you about here in just a minute here, about the administration that is very unique to the restoration. But the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you err from the truth, and one convert you, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. You see the power of prayer, not only that rain was stayed from the earth by a simple prayer. We find that also fire was called down from heaven at the time of the evening sacrifice when the prophets of Baal were face down. That's, of course, Elijah again. And it's from a simple prayer. O Lord God, that they may know that you are God. Not the abundance of prayer, not a flowery oration, but what needed to be done and what needed to be communicated. We look at special prayer, but praying for others. Confessing our faults one to another. There was a time that I was called into a situation where there was a rift in a group. And there was contention in that room that you could cut it with a knife. And there were those who were about ready to walk out. And we started talking about our faults. And it just started, and it still began. We all start talking about, well, you know, maybe do this, and yeah, I'm guilty of that, or this or that. And finally, the Spirit of the Lord spoke, and the answer was given to that situation. Very simple. But it solved that situation. By humbling ourselves before the Lord. Confess our faults one to another. We find that, once again, that administration is that is special prayer, consecrated through the elders and the anointing of oil. We find that the laying out of hands for the for that that special healing, that special prayer, lifted up that special way. Not that we get any of us pray any other time, but we do find that example in the scriptures. Call for the elders of the church. And they've been through that that calling that they were given, and that they would lay out of hand, and not only for ministration, but how about the Holy Ghost through the laying out of hands? That is a special prayer, isn't it? It's God gives it. God gives all the blessings. What about the blessing of children? That's another special prayer. The ministry lifts them up. In special prayer, we believe in the blessing of little children. We find that it's very unique to the restoration. We find the laying on of hands for the reception of the Holy Ghost, unique to the restoration. Administration. It's not that it's not open to all. I mean, to be partaken of. We find that very unique. But it is a way of prayer, even as well. And so we find that there are so many things where, you know, when we ask for telling people that we're going to pray for them. We've all had that, haven't we? We tell people, when we come across people and we say, you know, I'm gonna pray for you. There's a fellow I don't even remember his name, and just the other day when we met him in the mall, friendly fellow, and just wanted to talk, and for whatever reasons, and we got talking about our blessings. I told him I'd pray for him. I don't remember his name. I don't know if he told you his name or not. That one fellow, and he said he got a death sentence. What I mean is that there's something proceeding in his lungs, that for the absorption of oxygen and this and that, he'll finally have to wear a bottle, and he's also had his cancer and this and that. And I said I'd pray for him. And I don't know his name, but I'll pray for him. But you know, you may have a way of, if you've told somebody something like that, you know, either you have a little notebook, you may have a little remembrance or whatever, that you may set aside. And if you said you pray for someone, and the Lord says that we should pray for one another, to have maybe a little remembrance, I'll specifically pray for you. We see the power in prayer. Once again, that I know in the scriptures, and you know in the scriptures, much about fasting and prayer. Once again, that is a whole other sermon to itself. And so I thank you for your prayers. I thank you for being here and worshiping together. And may God bless the rest of your day and week.